Praise the Lord. All right.
Praise
welcome,
the Lord.
Welcome. Glad you welcome somebody and got your hand shook and hugged somebody's neck or something, but praise the Lord.
Praise God. All right, we have a couple of announcements. One is Pastor Dave and Yesha and the children are on vacation for 4 weeks, so you won't see them for a little while until actually the next healing school. And Dr. Matthias Solomon's father passed away yesterday. So he had just gone to India and came. His dad's over in India, and oh, now he's in heaven. He was saved. And he went to see him, I think, a week or so ago in India, and then I assume he's having to go back for the funeral. But he's passed away. I have several praise reports. One is from Kevin. He said, I recently received this CD which emphasizes planting seeds or tithing. It is an area that I'm weak in. I've called you folks for prayer to improve my income. Since doing so, I've moved to a new job within the same company that I work for. This job pays more and has more overtime opportunities than the one before. I believe the Bible speaks about tithing and that I can test the Lord on it. So praise the Lord, Kevin got an increase and a better job. Jesus' name. He actually was prayed for by Jenny, one of our prayer warriors. Okay, this is Anna May. Dear TLSM, thank you for your ministry. God is so good. I greatly appreciate your healing schools and also your time to pray over the phone with prayer needs. Miss Sharon prayed with me and I received my healing. She also encouraged me to stand behind my husband 100%, and out of that alone, I have experienced amazing answers, victory, breakthroughs in my life. It is like dreams come true, and I am just rejoicing. Please continue preaching this truth about marriage. It is the most transforming thing. Jesus baptized our 4 children with the Holy Ghost. The oldest is 13, and the youngest is 6. Yes, plus I experienced physical healings too. Pastor Dave's messages on grace have been a huge part in it too. Thank you, and keep preaching stronger in the Lord than you ever have yet. Be blessed, all of you, in Jesus' name, Galatians 6:9. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Sincerely, Anna May.
Praise the Lord.
I have like 5 of these this week. It's one of the. Okay, this lady was in Tampa. So it started back when all the hurricane was coming. It says, we're just north of Tampa, and we need prayers that you will agree with us to rebuke the storm and have it not come anywhere near us and our community of Lakeshore Ranch. Thank you for your prayers and your faith, for we have no doubt, that is, no disbelief, that God will protect us in Jesus' name. Thank you so very much. God is with us and his mighty blessings. Thank you. Sandra Reese, when she said that Matthew Haley, Sandra Haley, Eden Haley, Lily Haley, my mom Eleanor Reese, Robin Kirk, and her dog Summer are all here at 8141 Carlton Ridge Drive in Lando Lakes, Florida. We wrote back, we have prayed in agreement with you according to Matthew 18:19, and it is done. Start having everyone pray Psalm 91 out loud. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman. She wrote back the same day. The first one was at 3:19 p.m. The next one was at 8:23 p.m. She said, he is answering. Praise the Lord God of the universe. Hallelujah. Praise God. The storm's going away. And then she writes back, Pastor Thurman, we attended one of your healing schools right before we moved to Florida in May of 2016. You prayed with my mother, Eleanor Reese, who was there at the house, and she has been healed of diabetes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord. It was then that I realized that God still indeed performs miracles today, just as he did yesterday and just as he will tomorrow. Our entire community of Lakeshore Ranch fared very well in the storm. We had absolutely no problems. It seems just about everywhere else is without power. I give God all the glory. I wanted to make sure you got this praise report because I can't thank you enough for praying for us and for your faith in our Jesus. May God continue to bless you, your family and church family, your sister in Christ, Sandra Reese Haley.
Praise God.
Okay. Originally, this lady came to Des Moines. Her name is Nikki Peterson. So she came to Des Moines, and she had this 8-pound colon for 5 years, constant pain, and they couldn't do anything about it. So I attended the service of Thurman Scribner in Des Moines, Iowa last week and received healing from God. It was amazing, something I'd been suffering with for 10 plus years. So I was wrong, 10 years. So she said also, I have a nephew of 18 with cancer who I believe can be healed. My nephew, oh man, I gave my brother-in-law and sister-in-law a copy of your CD called A Cure for Cancer. I think it is one of your best ones. Becky gave it back and told me that Rich told her to turn it off and that it is of the devil. Sorry to tell you that, but I'm sure it's not the first time you've heard it, I think. I wanted to say to them, so if this is of the devil, what good would it do him when all these people are healed and giving God the glory? But they don't want to talk to me about it. It breaks my heart. My nephew's 18. I want to just take him for a long ride to Texas one day to your healing school, but not sure how that would go over. So I've been taking people to my 95, she sent me a picture of her 95-year-old friend Lila, the one who introduced me to your teaching, who passes everything out, nearly weekly and giving your CDs to others. And this is another part of it. One of those women is a woman who is 69. Her name is, that's my age, Lori. She had a stroke in February. Before this, she'd been living a life of sin, a wild life. After the stroke, she's been dealing with such extreme hopelessness and defeat. Demons show up every night and torment her with her past. I've prayed and prayed. Most people have given up on her because they don't see results, and I'm refusing to give up. She says that everyone she comes in contact with suffers from some terrible disease, accident, injury, illness. I told her today, I'm not afraid. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. She has a sweet spirit, and I told her God used a stroke to pluck her out of the life she was living, and now it's impossible for her to live that life, so rejoice. But maybe that's easy to say to her, but hard for her to understand. She has been listening to and ordering your CD. She told me today that she really believes that you are the only person who she thinks can help her. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Then this was at the... Okay.
I might not be able to help her, but I know the one that can.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Thank you, Jesus.
This one's lengthy. Okay. So this goes back then to when she was in Des Moines. Thurman, I was healed of what doctors could only call a mega colon. It was 8 times the size of a normal colon, and it pushed up on my diaphragm and my lungs and even moved my heart over. An x-ray, isn't that gross? An x-ray of my body showed that the whole left side of my body from top to bottom was black, indicating it was my colon. Then they all said my x-ray belongs in a medical book. I had 5 doctors check me out. Each of them wanted to remove my colon. They all used words like, this is spectacular. I've never seen anything like this, etc. I knew then that it was a spiritual battle. I suffered with it for 5 years, though I knew the symptoms had started when I was pregnant with our 4th child. He's now 15. I found a doctor, so she'd had it a long time. I found a doctor that was a Christian. I told him I was going to fast and pray. He supported me. He has a friend who's a gastroenteritis at the University of Minnesota. He showed him my x-ray, and he said he'd never seen anything like it. The Christian doctor worked with me on my diet to get things under control, but I would still suffer from terrible flare-ups where I literally looked 9 months pregnant. Every time I see him, a Christian doctor tells me I'm not going to have surgery, and we're going to prove the other doctors wrong. The friend I came to Iowa with also had an issue with her colon, and she was healed as well. Praise the Lord. Every time I talk about how good I feel, my husband cheers. Praise the Lord. It is awesome. When I met you face to face in town that night in Iowa, I just felt God's love downloaded upon me through you. I was thinking you were going to be a bit more matter of fact and just tell me to kick that devil out. But you were so loving and tender, it brings tears to my eyes just thinking about it. I was healed that night, but there have been 2 occasions where I was feeling symptoms and I had to repent. My mind had been so used to beating myself up that it just naturally reacted that way one day when I slipped up and made a simple mistake. It took a while, but I repented and the symptoms disappeared. Okay, this goes back to the lady that I said had the stroke. Also, I'm so thankful for your ministry. A friend of mine called in last week and received a miracle. She has been tormented by evil spirits and nightmares every night for 5 months since she had a stroke. For the first time in 5 months, she had a sweet dream in which the Lord demonstrated his love for her. She is a changed woman and is now believing and knowing that God is healing her arm and she will again play guitar and sing for the Lord. It is wonderful. I'm so happy. Thank you, Pastor Scribner. My prayer group is praying you up here in Minnesota. Then here's the last of it. Okay, remember the nephew. Thank you, amen. I have a praise report. My nephew, Patton, the one who was diagnosed with cancer, the one I ask you to pray for. Well, he had a 2-inch lymph node under his armpit removed, and here there were 5 more behind it. The doctor sent them off for testing, and the results came back. The doctor said, "This is very unusual. They cannot find one cancer cell in the tumors." They were so stunned by it that they sent it off to Mayo Clinic, who came up with the same results. They said they can't explain it, but they cannot find any cancer cells in the tumors. Praise the Lord, and thank you for your prayers.
Amen, amen. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God that's alive?
Amen.
You know, I mean, I went to church all my life, never heard this many testimonies my whole life. Lord, I heard these today, one day. It is amazing how you can go, you know, in fact, I was talking to somebody this last week, and on the phone, I did quite a bit of phone work this week. And it's amazing the number of people that'll tell you that they were raised up in a Catholic church. And, of course, every one of them says, you know, when I got saved, when somebody told me about Jesus and I got saved, I started reading the Bible. And so when I started reading the Bible, one day I was at church, in a Catholic church, and I had my Bible, and the priest, or whatever they call those guys, he says, "What are you doing with that book?" He said, "I'm reading it." He said, No, you're not supposed to read that." He said, "But sir, it's got lots of wonderful promises in here." He said, "But those promises were for the apostles. They don't work for us today."
Wow. Not true.
You know why they don't work for them today? Because they don't believe. I mean, that's the biggest sin in the church today, is you don't believe the promises of God. You know, the difference in us, we believe these promises, and these promises work.
Amen.
They work. So we donated a little bit more money from the church this week to the Psalm 91 program. And Bill, he's heading that thing up, Bill Wagner. And what I'd like to do is I don't know how much money that we need. I think we need a whole lot more than I gave them.
2,000 more.
Yeah, I think we need a couple of thousand more to buy all these big, large quantities of these cards. So I just want to say today, when you give your donation, if you give one or whatever, if you want to give an additional donation to the Psalm 91 Project, if you write a check or whatever, or put it in an envelope, just write on the envelope Psalm 91 or whatever, and then we will make sure that Bill gets that money too. How many total cards have you given away so far, Bill, you know?
Right at 35,000.
Okay, right at 35,000. I tell you what I want us to do on Psalm 91. I want to show you something about this wonderful, awesome scripture. I mean, we have realized that Psalm 91 is an awesome, powerful book. It's only 16 verses, but Psalm 91 is probably the most powerful prayer for deliverance and protection that there is. Just like this scripture that Cheryl read to you all ago about this couple, this family down there in Miami. Now, I'm going to tell you how I felt about this, because, you know, we all feel different at different times about different things, but we knew, you knew, I knew for days in advance that Irma was coming to Miami, did we not?
Yes.
And it was not a little storm, was it?
No.
I mean, the biggest one on record, you know, like 185 mile an hour wind or something like that. Wasn't that what it was? And this thing is coming in. And they told everybody's got a TV or a radio or something, you know, everybody knows Irma's coming to Florida. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Everybody knows. So whenever this girl, when it hit, they called us and emailed us and said, "Pastor Thurman, please pray. The storm has just hit." You know what my thoughts were? Well, you dummy. Why did you stay down there? I mean, you know, you had days of advance notice. So why stay there? Why don't you just take the kids and get in your car and go? But see, I didn't have enough faith. See, that's what I would have done. I would not have stayed there. I would have run. But this little family, they stayed. And then they cried out to us, a bunch of unbelievers, to show you the grace of God. When they hollered at us unbelievers, now that we would have run away, me and Cheryl, we prayed for them. And when we prayed for them and we quoted Psalm 91, we asked the Lord to protect them and watch over and protect them and all this good stuff, and the results was astounding. God still heard our prayer. Is he a God of grace and mercy? We call on him when, I can just look at him now saying, you know, Thurman, my son, I thought you had faith. I thought you had a little faith anyway. Maybe you have got a little bit, but so, okay, because of your little bit of faith, I'm going to go ahead and deliver them people. I'm going to run the storm around it. And he did.
And
isn't he an awesome God?
Yes.
You know, he's an awesome God. And now that you know that scripture, I can't think. I don't know exactly where that scripture is at right now, but I think it's Matthew 17:10. It's not what I plan to talk about today, but anyway, let's run back over to Matthew 17 and verse 10 or 11, somewhere along there. 14, okay, go down to verse 14. We'll let Cheryl read it. Go to verse 14 and we'll skim on down.
And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.
Listen to that now. Listen to what he just said. I brought him to your disciples. Now, see, now that's us. That's you and me. You're a disciple.
Uh-huh.
You know, so don't try to point this all this just on me. You know, I happen to be a disciple, too, but y'all are disciples, too. You know, so I'm going to let some of y'all bear part of this with me now, because he brought the boy to the disciples, and what did he say the disciples couldn't do?
They could not cure him.
They could not cure him. They have no faith. Now, so read on a little more there, and let's see if we continue on down through there.
Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.
Do you want Jesus to talk to you like that?
No.
I mean, to tell you, he's tough on them boys, wasn't he? You know, I mean, I used to read this, you know, I'd read that, and he says, oh, you faithless bunch. Oh, you perverse generation. And I'd read it kind of, you know, gently. Then one day I decided I'd just read it like I would do it if I was Jesus. Oh, you perverse bunch, what are you doing? Why don't you have some faith? I believe that's kind of the way he got with them, don't you, brother? I don't believe he was easy on them boys. I believe read that one more time. What did he say there?
Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Yeah, bring him hither to me.
She read that like I think it's supposed to. I think that's the way Jesus would have did it, don't you?
Yes.
Well, do you think he was happy with them?
No.
No. So what did he say next after that then? What? Read on a little further.
And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour.
Now, you noticed something that Cheryl read a while ago when he was reading his testimonies about this woman. All kinds of people have prayed for her. Nothing happens. This demon's tormenting her, all kinds of stuff. And this one woman, she said, I ain't afraid. Now then, if you're not afraid, the demons know that you're not afraid. If you are afraid, it's just like riding a horse. I mean, a horse is smart. When you take somebody, if they're not pretty sure what they can do on a horse, and they go to get on a horse, and that horse knows you're afraid, they're going to probably throw you off before the day's over. But if you get on that horse and that's just like one day, my daughter, when she was alive, she had a Playday horse. She loved that big old horse. I mean, he was a big, powerful horse, big thing. And so I went down there. She wanted to ride him one day. I said, you haven't ridden that horse in about 6 or 8 months. So I said, I better go down there with you because he's a very high-spirited horse. So I went down there with her. He come right into the lot because he knew she was going to feed him. So he got some feed, and he's eating the feed and everything. And whenever he's there with his head in the bucket, I thought, well, I'll put a halter on him. And so I went in and got one out of the bin, and I started out there. And as soon as I started up there with that halter, he looked around at me. He pulled his head out of that bucket, and he looked like this, and he lowered his ears like that, and then he turned his rear and right around to me. And I said, "Oh, I ain't walking up there." So I shoot him around kind of to the edge, and I went and did, I do this two or three times, and every time he'd take his head out of that bucket and pull him ears down, you know, that I said, "Okay, Buster." I said, "You know, I have dominion over you, and I'm not afraid of you." So I walked into the little shed, and I got a big strap, about 2 inch wide, had a big round steel buckle in the end of it. It was about 8 feet long. I walked out there, walked right up behind him where he was. I was still far enough he couldn't kick. And I just tucked that strap with the steel in it, and I come over like this and went, bam! I hit him right between the chops on the rear end with a steel buckle. I mean, it knocked his legs out from under him. He went down on the ground, and he gets up, and he comes over and puts his head right in the eye. I said, "Oh, you're going to be a little easier to get along with now, are you?" Do you know they know? And they will test you and try you. Now, let me tell you, that's the same way them demons do you. You know, I remember I had that experience out there in Silver City, New Mexico, which none of y'all were there, just me and Cheryl and Dave and his family. But we stayed with a demon out there. In fact, it was 2,823 demons in that woman when we started. And 7.5 hours later, it was down to 2. Now, if you've never had an experience like this, you've never lived. I mean to tell you. But I'm telling you, I thought I had faith. I thought I had great faith. But still, I can't get these last two demons out of them. See, these things know. I don't know how they read your level. There must be a gauge out here on your side or something, or on your head or on your face or something that tells them what your faith level is, because them last two demons I could not get out. I mean, just think now, I've been here casting out demons, and Cheryl's been there. We've seen this woman levitate off the floor. We've seen all kinds of things this day. This is an awesome day. 7.5 hours later, I'm still commanding these demons to leave, and I look over there at the clock, and I said, "Lord, in an hour, I got to preach at that church." I said, "So when is this going to be over?" And he looked, he spoke to me audibly. He said, "Son, when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over." So he's putting the monkey on me. So when he said that, you have no idea what that did to me. But when the master tells you, when you believe you're healed, you're healed. When you believe you're delivered, you're delivered. So until you believe, it ain't going to work. I'm not a wishy-washy God. I am a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please me.
Amen.
But to them that come to me must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. That's scripture. So you can take that to the bank. Doesn't make it what goes on. You know, I jumped up on that woman. Here I am in a motel. My wife's sitting right here by her side. She's laying on her back. I'm right straddled this woman and got my hands holding her down, my knees holding her down. It's a scene like you've never seen. I can assure you, if you've never been in something like this, you've never seen something like this happen. But that day, we had that problem. So this time when the Lord spoke to me and said, "It's going to be over when you believe it's over," I jumped back down on that woman. I held her down. I looked her right in the face, and I said, "You demons of hell." I said, "It's over. This time I'm going to command you beasts to come out. You're coming out, and you're never entering this woman again. And it's done, and she's delivered now in the name of Jesus." And I pushed myself up off of her, and I stood up. I said, "Woman, get up. You're delivered. I guarantee it in the name of Jesus." And she looked up at Cheryl and she said, "Who are you?" And she looked down at Dave holding her feet down. She said, "And what are you doing down at my feet?" He said, "Well, you were kicking." I said, "Woman, get up. You're delivered." She reached down. I got my hand. I picked her up, stood her up at the end of the bed, and she looked around. That woman was completely normal. She was completely healed and completely delivered right there. But it was 7.5 hours later. But when's it going to happen? It's going to happen when you believe. So can you imagine the master here saying, "Oh, you perverse and wicked bunch. How long am I going to have to put up with you unbelievers?" Is that what he's saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, what is he going to tell us he can do or we can do if we do believe? Read a little further, honey.
"And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour."
Okay, read on.
"Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?'"
You know, you ever stop to ask Jesus that question? Maybe, have you ever tried in your life to cast out a spirit or lay hands on somebody to get them healed? Most people in the churches I came out of never dreamed of doing that. Nobody ever dreamed of laying hands on somebody or commanding a spirit to leave. Most churches, I don't know why that is, but most churches, they don't believe in these things. I mean, it's right here in the book, right? Read that one more time. What does that say?
Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?"
Lord, why could I not do this? Mm-hmm. Reckon that's a good question to ask? When you pray, I was telling a new couple that came here a while ago. They brought their son. I'm sure they're going to want prayer before they leave. But I was telling them about Jenna's little case out there and how I prayed for Jenna for a year and a half. A year and a half I prayed for that little girl with no results. And every time I prayed, I guaranteed them she was healed. So why do I have to guarantee it? Because if I don't believe it, I can't guarantee it.
That's right.
But when she didn't get healed, over a year and a half later, I finally told them. I said, you know, we have a sin issue here that we've not taken care of. And I can't find it. I don't know what it is. Y'all haven't been able to find it. So I said, you two are going to have to go to God and find out what your sin is. Because I said, the only thing that keeps you from getting healed is sin. Because the Lord says, how many of my promises are yes and amen?
Oh.
Okay, so if he says every time, said if he says that I can pray and he'll do something and he'll heal a little boy or a little girl or whatever, like what we're dealing with Jenna over there, if I pray and nothing happens, the problem's got to be with us. It's not God's or his promise. It's definitely not God. So we got to find out whose problem it is. And so I didn't believe it was my problem because all that time I've been praying for him, that little girl, and nothing's happening, but I can't find the sin. So anyway, when they finally find the sin, lying and deception. Now, but somebody said, but lying, surely God would not hold us responsible for a tiny little lie. What does the scripture say about lying?
Oh,
he hates it. God hates lying. I mean, I would ask y'all a question, but I'm sure that all of us, it would intimidate us. How many of us have never lied? We can't hold up our hand, can we? Because we all know we've lied. You know, in other words, I asked the Lord one time, a long time ago, I said, Lord, I don't know why it is that when somebody asks me something, if I'm going to get somebody in trouble, I'll tell a little bitty tiny lie to keep them telling the truth so they don't get in trouble. He said, you need to stop that. He said, you need to start being truthful because I hate lying. Now, you don't want me to hate you, do I? I said, no, Lord, I don't want you to hate me. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I can't do this. I'm telling you, I couldn't do that. And so over the years that was coming, every time I'd start to do that, you know in advance when you start to tell a little lie. You know, maybe it's just a little teeny lie. But you know what you're fixing to tell this person is not true. Have we all done that?
Yeah.
And did you know that when I asked the Lord, you got to help me. Do you know that it was amazing that every time I started to tell someone a little tiny lie, regardless, there was a conviction in my heart instantly before I did it. Wow. Have you all ever had that experience? If you haven't, well, then ask God to help you not to lie. And I guarantee it's like he will punch your lights out. You know, when you start to tell that lie, something, don't do that. Now then, when he hits you and tells you don't do that, can you still go ahead and lie?
No.
Sure, you can. You can. But, you know, if you lie, he's going to get you. Guaranteed down the line somewhere, he will get you. So don't do it. Because even a little bitty tiny lie, God said he hates liars. So you don't want to lie. So, okay, this scripture, what else does that say now beyond that?
Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out?
Okay. Why could we not cast him out?
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief.
Now, wait a minute. So if we got all these promises, everything, what's the problem? Who is the problem? It's you and me. Every time we pray for someone, we should get an answer. I've been paying really close attention to Scott Smith lately. This young man right here, I watch him walk up to somebody. It don't make no difference what the problem is. He'll see them and they're, whatever the problem is. He said, what's wrong with you? And they tell him. He said, well, are you a Christian? They say, yes or no. He said, would you like to get healed? Well, yeah, but I don't know what to do. I know what to do, and I do it. I guarantee my God will heal you. That man has great faith. He has developed into a great faith man. And when he prays, when you get this fact. In fact, Cheryl and I was in the pickup with a couple this last week, and he said, I was out at the airport, and I met this guy, and me and him got to talking, and said, when we got to talking, your name came up, Thurman Scrivener. He said, I know Thurman Scrivener. He said, how do you know Thurman? He said, I pulled my airplane out here to get gas. And I was fixing to get gas and said I had a problem with my crippling on my leg. I'd been in an accident and I got my leg injured and I was going to do some kind of surgery or something, but they hadn't done it yet. But he said I was in excruciating pain in my leg. And said, I'm trying to fuel my airplane. And this guy, which I'd never seen before, walked up and he says, what's wrong with your leg? And I said, well, I was injured in an accident and they're going to do surgery, but said, it sure does hurt. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. He said, well, how would you like for Jesus to heal your leg? Said, I looked at him and said, you know, that would be great. I'd love it. And he said, he just walked over there and laid his hands on my leg and prayed a little simple prayer and then told me, said, I guarantee it's done. And said, he walked off. And he said, the pain went away and said, I've never had a pain in that leg since. I see this man doing the same things all the time. He is developing into a faith world and is getting to where that Scott Smith, every time Scott prays for somebody. Now, we got several people in this place that's doing this. I'm just pointing him out today. But, you know, there's several of them that's getting to this point. But when Scott prays, he believes it's done. I believe it's done. And every time I hear him say that, it's just a faith builder. I think about, gee, when he prays, he expects his prayers to be answered. He's learning who God is. Wow. In fact, I got tickled, you know, that we prayed for a man that he prayed for a man. And the guy accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Then he was going to get baptized. He wanted to be baptized down here at this church. And Scott asked him why he didn't want to be baptized at another church. And he said, well, I told him that church, they don't believe in miracles like this church. So he said, well, then I want to be baptized where they believe in miracles. And so we baptized him last Sunday, right here. Just think how little faith we have. Read on a little bit more there. There's a couple of really interesting things in that scripture.
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Now then, I don't know hardly anybody that believes that scripture. In fact, last night, to tell you about Scott now, I'll throw this out here. Last night we were sitting out front talking about adding a room back there at the back to put CDs and DVDs in. And Scott said, you know, why don't we just speak it? Why worry about building it? Just speak it and let God do it. I thought, now that's great faith. Who even thinks like that? Almost nobody even thinks like that. I wasn't even thinking like that. I was sitting there thinking with my engineering brain about what I would need to do to add a room on back there. I never dreamed about just saying, well, Lord, just build us a 20 by 40 or 50 by 50 or whatever, just exactly like we need, you know. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how that we think? Do we have faith? Very little. Very little. But that scripture that Cheryl just read, Matthew 17, starting with verse 14 down through whatever the last one was. 20? Yeah, and the next part of that is this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. Until a few years ago, when the church I had been in for all of my life, I had never even heard a scripture mentioned that said anything about prayer and fasting. Never. So when I finally read that, and it became a reality to me, the reason they couldn't get this done is they didn't pray and fast. So I thought, I wonder what would happen if I prayed and fast. So if you go to a church that's got 500 people in it and you start talking to them, usually there's a very, very select few you can talk things like this at all to, because they just don't believe. But when you ask somebody, have you ever done any praying and fasting? Well, some of them say, yeah, I come to Wednesday night prayer meeting every week, and we have a 30-minute prayer meeting, the whole church. But have you ever fasted? No, I never fasted. What does that mean, fasting? I don't know what that means. Kim, she'll tell me. She said, last night, I said, where are y'all going? She said, we're going over to another church. We're going to have some feasting. I said, you ain't going to do no fasting? She said, I guarantee there won't be no fasting over there with all this food. Now, that's the kind of places I like to go. I like to feast too, don't you?
Yes.
But that's not what he said. That's not the answer to getting my something done. So if I feast, it's one thing. But if I fast, do without food, that's like we had a couple from Houston. Came by when we were in Dallas. He was a truck driver. And I happened to be teaching on fasting that day. And so he told his wife, said, we're going to do that. So they went home, and she said, the next Friday we went on a fast, and said the next morning, we didn't eat anything Friday night. So she said, the next morning we woke up, and my husband was, oh, I got to have breakfast. And she said, breakfast, we just started a fast last night. No, we're going to fast for 3 days. So she said, by noon he was dying. He's crying out, I got to have some food. So anyway, by nightfall, 24 hours, he was just passing out almost. He said, I don't know how Thurman can fast. This is impossible. She said, get me something, put it on the table right now, woman. I got to have something to eat. So she said, I fed him. I said, okay. So he come back to see me. He said, how do you do that? I said, well, the first thing you need to do, did you ask the Lord to take away your hunger pains? Take away my hunger pains? No. Well, see, he was fasting totally in the flesh. He had not asked God's help. So if God's not helping you to do something, how much luck are you going to have getting very much done? Mary's back there shaking her head like, you ain't going to get nothing done without God's help. We need him, don't we, Mary? We definitely need him. So anyway, I told him, I said, if you're going to do a 3-day fast, just ask the Lord to take away your hunger pains and keep you from being hungry. And don't let you even look at food or nothing. And so anyway, he said, okay, we're going to do that. So next Friday night, we're going to go on a fast. After 3 days, his wife contacted me and said, you know, this is unbelievable. My husband has gone 3 days and without a bite to eat. He hadn't said a thing about anything to eat. And I told him, I said, well, today's the end of the 3 days. And then he said, this was so easy. Let's go a couple more. Isn't that amazing? But if you don't ask God for help, how many people do you think you're going to get healed? You can come out here, and if we don't ask God through Jesus Christ to heal you, how many of you think is going to get healed?
None.
He's the healer. He does everything. He is our source. This is not us, me or my team of people, whatever. We don't heal nobody. In fact, I got tickled at a young man. He's telling about, I think, his mother or something. He was back there in the back a while ago, too. He's here today, and he said that I prayed and I healed his mother. I said, whoa. He said, okay, you're right. It wasn't you. It was God. I said, okay, don't never even make that statement. I mean, don't ever claim that I did anything, because all I can do is pray for you. Is that right?
That's right.
And all you can do is to be obedient, to lay hands on the sick or pray or whatever. But when you do that, do it in faith, expecting God to do something. Now, I can think of the 50 years I was in a denominational church. I never laid hands on nobody. I never prayed for nobody for healing. Never saw anything happen. Never saw a miracle or nothing. When I finally decided I'm going to do it God's way, it started working for me. And that's what Scott did. When he started believing God, it started working for you too. Not quite as powerful as it is now. But today, he gets it done. Of course, like I say, there's several people that's a member of our prayer team that gets their prayers answered just like that. I got tickled at Sharon yesterday. Sharon's one of our prayer team members. She got healed here in the Dallas church when we were over there. When I think about how that she got healed of all the things she got healed of and how God lifted her up, and then she came out here and that girl went to every healing school. She went to every Tuesday night Bible study. I used to do a 2-hour Bible study one or 2 days a week and 2 healing schools a month and everything else. And I mean, I was busy, And we were getting lots of people healed, and Sharon was one of those. She came to every one of those teachings, and she grew in grace and knowledge and wisdom of God's Word beyond your wildest dreams. But that girl, I mean, today, if you want somebody to pray for her, just like this one man, he called in this week, and he said, I want to talk to Jonesy. That's Sharon Jones. He said, I want to talk to Jonesy. Well, I answered the phone, and I told him, I said, well, this is Pastor Thurman Scribner. He said, oh, my gosh. He said, I can't believe I got to talk to you. He said, I've called in there lots of times. I've never got to talk to you. I said, well, I don't answer the phone too much. I do other things. But anyway, he says, I wanted to talk to Jonesy. I said, yes, I know, but she's busy doing something else. I said, why did you ask for her? He said, because that woman got me healed. He said, and I called in for a year. He said, every time I'd call in, she'd ask me questions, you know, are you living in any kind of sin? You know, you got to get your sins confessed. You got to be going to church. You got to be walking in love, all the things. And I always told her, yeah, sure, I'm doing all that. I'm doing good. Are you doing any kind of sexual activity? Are you married? No, my wife and I split up. Are you going with any girl? No, I'm not doing nothing wrong. And then one day she found out he was lying. And she had never been able to get him healed. She said, there's some kind of reason why you're not getting healed, and I got a feeling you're lying to me. She said, are you hanging out with some girl? And he said, well, that shouldn't hurt anything, Sharon. Yeah. Sharon said, I tell you what, sir, I am not going to pray for you. I'm not going to waste my breath on you. I mean, you've been lying all the time. I'm not praying for you until you repent. He said, you're not even going to pray for me. She said, ain't no use. You didn't get healed for a year, did you? I said, God, I'm not the healer. God is, and it's because of your lousy, stinking sin. He said, boy, she was hard on me, Thurman. I said, well, she should have been hard on you. I said, you've been lying to her for a year. It's time for you to quit lying. And I said, God, don't you know God hates lying? And I said, all that sin's making you sick. And so he said, well, and she said, she really upset me. So I hung up the phone. And so in a little while, the Holy Spirit worked on me and made me realize I really messed that one up. So he said, I had to call her and apologize. Told her, okay, I'll quit sinning and everything. She said, okay, you promise me you quit sinning, I'll pray for you. But until you do, I will not pray. Said, the way I can tell if you're telling me the truth or not, if you get healed. If you don't get healed, I know you're still lying. You don't see many prayer warriors like that, do you? But the guy repented. This time he was serious. He repented, got right with God. Sharon prayed for him, and guess what the Lord did?
Healed
him. Absolutely right. Now, you talk about a gracious and merciful God. After all of that, for a year, he'd been messing around with girls for a year, lying to Sharon. I told him, I said, it's a good thing I wasn't God, because I'd have killed you. I mean, you know, my grace don't go that far. But is he a gracious God, Tony?
Yes,
he is a merciful God, a gracious God. But he wants us to get rid of our sin, does he not?
Yes.
And it was pretty obvious here, this story that Cheryl just read. Lord, why could we not heal that little boy? Well, he didn't say, I didn't want to heal him. It wasn't time yet. You didn't hear none of that, did you? What did Jesus want to do? He wanted to heal him. He's going to heal him. He said, what do you boys mean? Y'all prayed, y'all laid hands on that kid, you did everything, you rebuked the spirit, you done everything, but that little boy did not get healed. And he said, Lord, why did it not happen? He said, because of you, your unbelief. How long am I going to have to put up with you boys? I wonder what, if Jesus were to show up right here in this church today, as many people we've seen him heal, I still got a feeling he wouldn't be real happy. Because I know we have so much unbelief in this place. You know that?
Yeah.
Just like that woman from wherever it was up north that had that colon that was 8 times bigger than it's supposed to be. When she repented of all sin, we rebuked the devil, we commanded that thing to go away, that thing went away. And she got healed. One more time, read that scripture in Matthew. One more time, I want y'all to listen to that real close.
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, new building back there, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Can you think like that? Can you even think Lord, I believe with no doubt in my heart that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all I can think or imagine. I believe that I'm healed. I believe that you're the healer. I believe that you can do anything. I believe, Lord, I believe. And I had a lady back there a while ago tell me when I was walking up and shook her hand, my hands were trembling still a little bit. She said, I pray for you every day for that trembling. I said, well, praise God. But I said, I want you to know something, woman. I'm already healed.
That's right. Amen.
It was done on the cross 2,000 years ago. I appreciate your prayer, but I'm already healed.
That's right.
Did Jesus say, by his stripes I was healed. That's right. If I was, I was. I'm healed. So everything that he said, I just like that scripture there in Mark 11:23. Turn over to Mark 11:23 and let's see what Mark 11:23 and 24 says. Again, Jesus is talking. Listen to this. If you can believe this, but you know, this Catholic priest, whenever we talked about this, this Catholic priest says, these promises, it don't do no good to read these promises because they don't work. And you know, they only work if you believe they work, right? If you don't believe they won't work, it's in Mark 11:23, honey.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Now see, there's an answer there for two different kinds of people. One of them, somebody that can receive instantly, totally, completely. So in other words, if you can't believe right now, you can say it, and you can say with your mouth and believe with your heart, and it will happen. But if that next verse there on the Mark 11:24 says, when you pray, believe. And if you don't doubt in your heart, you'll have what you say with your mouth. But you know, this is what we usually do. We pray and then ask God to do something. And then we say, I can't do it. That's just like yesterday. Yesterday, I decided I needed to check out the fences. I was a camp out here the other day. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go out and check the fences and see, you know, so... That was yesterday, wasn't it? Sometime yesterday, about noon or whatever. It was hot. I mean, it was really hot. So anyway, I put my cap on and I walked out there to the fence. And I looked at it right there and I thought, well, I wonder what it looks like all the way around. So I walked all the way up to Kathy's house and I walked a pretty good clip.
Yes, you
did. I didn't realize, but I thought, I'm going, I thought, Lord, I can do all things through Christ. So man, I'm young, I'm high, you know. And I'm going down through there, and I go up to Kathy's house, and I go jump over the fence, and I jump over a gate. And of course, when I jumped over a gate, it was higher than I thought it was. And so when I went over on the other side, I grabbed my hands, and of course, I held onto the top of it because I didn't want to get cut. And then I hit the ground, and when I hit the ground, it was a little further down than I thought, but I didn't fall down. So I jumped up and kept on running. I run down to the end of the fence down there, look at the gate. And the gate was open for the cows down there. Walked all the way around that fence, all the way around, back up Kathy's house, and all the way back over here. Kathy and Scott was watching me. I didn't know they were watching me. So anyway, as she said, wow, look at Pastor. He's really picking them up and putting them down across there. Well, I come back to the shop here, come back to the ministry center, and I went in and sat down there. I thought, boy, it is pretty hot out there. I sat down. Ben come in. He said, boy, are you sweating? He said, water dripping off you onto your elbows onto the floor. What have you been doing? I said, well, I just walked out and checked all the fences. But it was 100 degrees, 95 or 100 degrees out there. I just thought to myself, if I'm healed, and I know I'm healed, because I know I am because it's written in the Word, I may still have a little tremors and everything, but does that make any difference?
No.
If I'm healed, I ought to be able to do what I can do. I'm healed.
Right.
And so the day's going to come whenever you're going to see me. The Lord's letting all of you see me have my tremors, my shakes, and everything else, knowing that I'm a man of faith, believing the faith. And then one day you're going to walk in here, and I'm going to be totally healed.
That's right.
And you're going to see, my hands are going to be as solid as a rock. Guaranteed they're going to be solid as a rock, you know, because if I can pray for you, I don't want the Lord to walk in and say, you unbeliever, you wicked pervert. Is that kind of what he called them?
Yes.
A perverse and wicked bunch, right? Woo. Do you want him to call you that? So obviously when we look at that, he must want us to be healed since he paid for our healing on the cross 2,000 years ago. So he must want us to be healed, don't you think? Because when I look at this scripture, Lord, why could we not heal him? He said, because of your unbelief. Get rid of that unbelief and nothing shall be impossible with you. Nothing. In other words, if we could, just like Scott said yesterday, if we could get rid of our unbelief, just say, I need a building right there. In Jesus' name. We're in the process of building a new building for my son over to Field House. He's building a new one. The one we built before, the first one, he and I built it, and it's 80 foot wide and 135 foot long. And it's 12 foot wall on the side. This one is going to be 80 by 100 by 25 foot high. I don't know what's wrong with my microphone, but it's going on and off. But anyway, is it back? It's back on now, right? Yeah, sounds like it is. But I just thought to myself, when Scott said what he did about speaking that, I said, you know, if I had the faith, this is scriptural. If I had the faith, I could walk up back there and say, Lord, I need that building for my son right there, right now, in Jesus' name. And what should be able to happen, Mike? I should be able to occupy it. That's right.
Amen.
So guess what? Who is the problem with? God or me? It's me. It's always me. It's never God. Because I mean, these are kind of wild things, and this is where our faith level. When we look at that scripture and it says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed and didn't doubt in your heart, anything you say, anything, including removing a mountain. That's what he said, wasn't it, Mary? He tells us we could look at that mountain back yonder, we could speak to that mountain, and if we don't doubt in our heart, that mountain will obey us and it will move.
Amen.
Now, yeah. So, and then he said that, added that thing on there, yes, that if we believe him and do what he says, nothing will be impossible with us. Was anything impossible with him? When he was here, he was showing us how to walk in faith. We don't even think about how to walk in faith. He walked on the water. I mean, you know, he walked on the water. He walked on the ships. I mean, he walked out there where the ship was, and then after they saw him, he just said, whoosh, and the ship was at the shore on the other side. It was translated. Isn't that amazing? You see, we don't walk in faith, do we? You know, the reason that I really, when Jesus said, of course, there's a scripture in James 1, 6 and 7, that tells us what he will do for us or won't do for us if we don't believe. James 1, 6 and 7. Now, most people don't believe this, but God, to realize that he is a faith God and that he only honors faith, true faith. Here a few weeks ago, there was a young boy come to the healing school, and he came up and I prayed for him. We got his sin taken care of, and we prayed. And he left, and the next month he came back to the next healing school, and he walked up and told me, Pastor, you prayed for me last month, and I didn't get healed. I know the promises that you used were perfect because I read them, and what they said and what you said were the same thing. But I don't know why I didn't get healed, but I didn't get healed. So anyway, he's right back there in the line. He says, one of the people there said, well, y'all keep save my place here. I've got to go to the bathroom. So he walked out and went back to the bathroom. When he got in the bathroom back there, he said, now, God, I got to know why. I know what Thurman's teaching is the truth. But I didn't get healed. Why? And he said, just as clear as the bell, the Lord said, because of your unbelief. You didn't get healed because of your unbelief. Did he tell us that in the scripture?
Yes.
Why did we not get healed? Well, James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, I want Cheryl to read that to us.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Okay, now let's look at the people that come in here. And let's say they repent of their sins. They take care of all that. And then we pray the prayer of faith for them. And then I say, okay, now then you know, according to that scripture, we have to pray in faith, nothing wavering. Is that what that says?
Yes.
I have to pray nothing wavering. Okay, so then if I say, okay, now do you believe you're healed? Absolutely, I believe I'm going to be with God. Okay, no problem. And we're walking out, and I say, well, what are you going to do? Well, next Thursday, I got an appointment with the doctor. Somebody says, but Thurman, you can't believe that God wouldn't heal him. if they go to the doctor. What did that scripture say?
No wavering.
If you're going to go to the doctor, does that sound like you're wavering just a little?
Wavering.
Or maybe a whole lot?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I knew of a man one time that was a great man of God, and he had this woman, her husband, had some kind of kidney problem. And he was upstairs, and he was in the bedroom, and he was really hurting. She called him, and she also called two doctors, and the doctors were on the way. But she said, I think I'll call this man of faith and have him come and let him look at my husband. So she called him, and the man went out there, and he looked, and he laid hands on him. Just reached up and laid hands on the man and looked at her and said, the scripture says, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Is that written?
Yes.
So he said, he's healed. So they walked downstairs. She said, sir, would you like to have a cup of hot tea before you leave? And he said, well, yes, ma'am, that would be nice. I'll take a cup of hot tea. So she gets him out a cup of hot tea, and the two doctors come in. The doctors come in, and they said, where is your husband? She said, well, he's upstairs in the bedroom. They said, okay, so they ran up the stairs, and they walked in, and they were in there a few minutes. They checked him. They came down and said, we have to take him to the hospital for emergency surgery or he will die tonight.
No.
He has kidney failure. We have to do surgery tonight. Either he's going to die. The man is drinking his hot tea. She looks over at him and says, sir, what do you think? He said, what did the scripture say? She said, the scripture said to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, did we do that? She said, yes. He said, okay. Then what's the problem? He looked at the doctor and said, I'm sorry, sir. My husband is healed. God has healed him. They said, woman, you're a fool. This man's going to be dead in a few hours if you don't let us take him to the hospital and do surgery. She said, I'm going to trust God. Now, the world will tell you you're a complete idiot. So the doctors left saying, ma'am, you're crazy. He'll be dead by morning. There's nothing. He cannot live. So the man's drinking his cup of tea. He gets through drinking his tea and sets the cup back down and says, well, nice knowing you, ma'am. I'll see you later. And as he starts to leave, all of a sudden he heard something. Look, and here comes the guy running down the stairs. He said, I'm healed. And he was healed. What if he'd have went to the hospital? He would have died. But you know, when you tell people stories like this, and I've experienced stories like this in my own life. Cheryl's been with me when we prayed for people like this. Many of you in this room have prayed for people in set-like circumstances. You know what it's like to walk in faith? What is it like to walk in faith? Tony, what is it like to walk in faith? Is it easy?
No, it's hard.
It's very hard, especially when it's your body that's suffering, right?
That's right.
But if you stay with it and do what God says, what will he do every time? He'll do what he said, won't he? But sometimes in the process when you're hurting or something, you know, you think, oh, my gosh. And if you got a good woman sitting there with you that's a faith woman, it helps. If you got one, know that they're saying, honey, you better go to the doctor. You better go to the doctor. You got a problem. I'm telling you, walking by faith is not easy. But I'm telling you, what we're talking about here is Scripture. Is that what it says? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that what it said? Remember where it says lay hands on the sick? If you want somebody to get well, you don't even have to speak. It says lay hands on them, just like we laid hands on you last week. This young man, I told you, some of you that wasn't here last week, so you don't know. He was picking up, I believe it was 725 pounds or something like that. 725, this young man right here. And it was so heavy that I don't know what he was doing, a squat or what he was doing, but he had that 725 pounds, and it went down and it popped his knee in two, broke it. The doctor said he'd probably never walk again. But this man is a man of God. He's a man that believes the promises. So he prayed, me and him have prayed, I've laid hands on him and everything. I believe God told him the other day he's going to start with his new experiences at that 725 pounds or something. Is that what he said?
What broke me is going to make me.
What broke you is going to make you.
Wow.
Okay. So he's going to pick up in excess of 725 pounds. Whatever. And then not on, and he walks really, when they said he'd never walk in, you hadn't seen him walking around. He walks around real good. Everything's working good, isn't it, brother? But you see what it takes to stand in faith? You know how hard that is whenever you're the one that was picking that up and that popped and broke his knee? You know what kind of a human being it takes to go back and do that again? It takes a man with no doubt. That's exactly what Barron said. It takes a man with no doubt. Now, that's scripture. Somebody says, you know, somebody wrote me a letter other day and said, you know, Mr. Scrivener, I really don't like the way you talk about doctors. Well, now, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm grateful that there is good doctors. You know, because I meet so few people that know how to walk in faith, you know, that if you didn't have good doctors, including me, you know, if I hadn't had some good doctors to go to back 100 years ago, I might have already been dead myself. You know, so there's no telling, but I needed some doctors because I didn't know how to walk in faith. I didn't know. That's just like Dr. Black down at Cook's Medical Center. Dr. Black did the surgery on my daughter when she was about 16. He told us, he sat there and looked at me. I watched as he looked at the gallstones and everything, and her bile duct and all that stuff. And I'll never forget that how that had happened. When he showed me all that, he said, this is the worst case of gallstones in a 16-year-old girl I have ever seen in my life. And I said, you mean all them things there that I'm looking at, those are stones? He said, yes. I've never seen a case anywhere close to this in a 16-year-old child. I said, okay, now I know how to pray. Okay, so I look at that, and he said, well, we're going to do the surgery Monday. Monday morning, 7 o'clock, we'll do the surgery. Now, he told Amanda, he said, it's going to be very extensive. He said, well, I have to cut a slot in your side about 4 inches long because of the seriousness of this whole thing. He said, if you just had to have a gallbladder removed to make a little half-inch split and reach in there and get it and take it out, but he said, you've got to have something more. So I said, we'll have to cut you open to about 4 inches. So it's going to be very complex. It's going to take about 4 hours to do the surgery. Well, that kind of lit Daddy's fire. So I was still a member of the Baptist Church in Justin. So I went down there that Sunday night after he told me, the doctors told me all this Sunday afternoon. So anyway, I went to church Sunday night. I left the hospital for a little while, and I went down and I told Martin, the pastor, I said, my daughter is laying in Cook's Medical Center right now with gallstones and her gall and her bile duct and everything. They're going to have to do 4 hours worth of surgery on her tomorrow. So whatever you do, don't you dare forget to call this church to prayer before we go home tonight. I want every man and here that believes he has any kind of answer to prayer, I want those people praying for my daughter. Amen. I said, but we're going to pray. So anyway, I went back to the back. I usually sit on the front row, but I went back to the back, and I'm sitting on the back row, and we get through a church on Sunday night, and he prays, and he dismisses, and when he does, I step out and do like this in front of the back door. He looked up at me, and he said, oh, folks, I just made a mistake. We forgot to pray. He said, Thurman has said his daughter's in the hospital down there, and he wants us to pray before we go home. So I forgot, but he said, I remembered when I saw him over the back door. I ain't letting you out. You know, I mean, that's my daughter in there. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Yes. I mean, is this book, this God that I serve real, or he's not real? Yes. If he's real and he makes me these promises, I should be able to ask and he should be able to do it. Right, Scott?
Yes.
So anyway, we prayed. And, of course, most of the prayer people prayed, Lord, if it be your will, heal Amanda for Thurman, you know. When I prayed bold as a lion, Lord, thank you for taking all them stones out of that gold, that vile duck, and making that thing perfect. Now, Lord, it's done in Jesus' name. Now, at least one of us prayed in faith. It was me. So I go down to the hospital, but now it's amazing how our faith works. I go down to the hospital, and early the next morning, I'm there early. And Dr. Black, they come around the corner to take Amanda for surgery, and I go up there and I give her a kiss and tell her I'll be right here till you get out. Never once to even think about telling them to check her. Did I believe my prayer was heard? Probably not. So anyway, they take her in there, they do the surgery, and within an hour, less than an hour, Dr. Black come walking out, and I'm sitting there glued on that door. When he walked out, I get up, I said, "Dr. Black, something wrong?" He said, "Thurman, Saturday when we checked her, you did see all them gallstones in her gall, her duct, right?" I said, "Yes, sir, they were there, I saw them." He said, "This morning, they're not there." I said, "You mean they were all completely gone?" He said, "There was not." He said, "The inside of her bile duct looked like a brand new one." He said, it was just pink and perfect. He said, "There was nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with this girl." He said, "I'm so sorry that I cut such a big hole in her side." He said, "I cut a 4-inch hole in her." But he says, "When I got in there," and he said, "there's nothing wrong with her. She didn't need nothing." So he said, "I went ahead and took the gallbladder out since I was in there." But he said, "It wasn't nothing wrong with it either." Now then, you see how you can have faith, but you ain't got faith. And that's where I was. I had faith, but I didn't have faith. If I had faith, I'd have said, "Hey." When I got up and got down there that morning, I'd have said, "Hey, check her. You're going to find ain't nothing wrong with her." I've done that since then, several times with people. But back in those days, I didn't have that kind of faith. Do we need faith?
Yes.
If you got faith, will it move the hand of God?
Yes.
And sometimes even when you don't know you got it, it'll move the hand of God. Because in that case, we prayed, and I was confident that the Lord had heard our prayer, but did I really believe as a Baptist that he was going to take all them stones out of there without surgery? No, I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that. I believed it was going to have surgery to make this thing work.
Pastor.
Yes.
You just said something that I need the church to pray for me and my wife. I need my family back now.
Okay.
I need them now. I don't want to wait another second. I want the whole church to pray.
You're ready to
believe. I'm ready. Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirits of hell that have bound this man's wife and children, and I command those spirits to leave her and to go away. Now, Father, you said we could ask and believe it will happen. So, Lord, I ask you to bring this man's wife back home, his children back home, and then use him and his wife as a team to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. And, Lord, I thank you. You said in Matthew 18:19, that if just two of us on earth agree about anything we ask you for, it's done. So, Lord, there's a whole church full of people here, and we believe it's done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You in agreement with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Going to happen today. I mean, he had the faith, and we believe it's going to happen today. That's the way we need. Yeah, that's the way we need to do it. We need to believe. But yeah, that is the way we do it. When people come up here for prayer, we get people to repent of their sins. We pray the prayer of faith for them.
Amen.
And then and of course, the thing about it is, it's really difficult, just like Tony said there a while ago, it's really difficult to walk in faith. We try, don't we, Tony?
Yes.
But you did it. But it took you about 3 months to get your shoulder fixed, whatever. But if you don't stay in faith, believing, and the unbelief is what's eating us up. Unbelief. Just think of the promises in this book that are yes and amen. Think of these promises. There's dozens of them, hundreds of them, that are yes and amen. And most people do not ever get healed. Most people in the church, just like that deal Cheryl read to you a while ago, that cure for cancer, she said, "I think that was one of your good teachings." But she said, "I gave it to my family. They listened to it and they come back. And what'd they say it was? Oh, that's of the devil." Okay, if that's of the devil, why aren't we getting people healed and giving God all the glory if it's coming from the devil? I'm telling you, that ain't the devil. That's God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. That's all I can say. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing Daniel's wife and kids back home, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Think of that scripture we're looking at right there. It said, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." If we ask in faith, nothing wavering, you need to know today, it doesn't make any difference what your need is today. When you come up for prayer and you get with one of the prayer team members, they all know these scriptures extremely well. I mean, I think, of course, I just got to tell you all these kind of stories about Scott and what I've seen him do, but that one, which we don't have time to tell in detail, but I saw Mike and Gracie do a police officer the same way, that he was ready to pull the plug. I mean, Mike and Gracie, they took him down and they said, this is what you got to do, and they prayed, and it changed that man's life forever. I mean, it didn't it, Mike?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it changed his life forever. And but you know, we see things work in faith. When we ask in faith, we believe it's done. It's done. That's what you got to believe. You can't doubt. The scripture says, if you doubt any, it don't work. Is that what it says?
Yes.
So if God made these promises, then what should I do? Just like that man that used to sit right here. When he used to come to this church, he came right here. He was a professor at the University of Arlington. And he come down with the cancer. Yeah, Weston Blair. And he come down with cancer. And he came in here one day and told me that he had cancer. And I said, well, you got an unforgiveness against I'm probably a man. And he did have, it was his dad. He hated his dad. I mean, his dad, he said, my dad used to beat my mother. He said, I can remember laying on the floor, watching daddy come in drunk and beating my mother in the face. And I said, if I ever get big enough, I'm going to kill him. He said, I hate him for what he's doing to my mother. Well, it brought cancer on him in his later life. So when I learned, I told him, I said, Weston, if you'll repent of that sin, I'll pray for you and I guarantee it'll work. I prayed for that man, Weston Blair, big old, tall, handsome professor of UT, and I told him, I said, you've got to believe with no doubt in your heart. I said, if you doubt, it won't work. So I read him all those scriptures. So Weston, he said, I've got an appointment this week, Thurman, with MD Anderson in Houston. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to go let them see what it is. But he said, I promise I will not let them do any surgery. I will not take any medicine. I said, okay, that's faith. He said, I just want to know what's there. So then he went. And they checked him and told him, it's terrible. It's so bad, we need to do chemo and radiation both together, or you're going to be dead in a few weeks, few months. He said, nope. I was prayed for in faith. He said, I'm a man of God. He said, I believe God's word. So he said, I ain't going to let you do nothing. I just wanted to know what I have. They said, well, you got it, and you got it terrible. So it's the chemo and radiation needs to be started immediately. He said, well, I ain't going to do none of it. So he left. They told him, he said, you're crazy. So he come back every Sunday he was here. And then 6 months later, I said, well, what do you believe? He said, I'm healed. I know I'm healed. He said, it's written in the book. That's all I need. I repented of my sin. He said, it's done. Yeah. And he said, I feel good too. He said, that's not why I'm healed. So anyway, he said, the doctor told me to come back in 6 months. So he said, the 6 months is up this next week. So I'm going down to let them check me. So the next week when he come back to church, I said, well, did you go to MD Anderson? He said, sure did. I said, what was the story? He said, well, the doctor, world-renowned doctor, called me in, they'd done the x-rays, checks, everything, and said, Weston, I don't know what you're doing, but you better patent it, because it'll sell. He said, what do you mean? He said, you have no cancer cells in your body, nowhere. Nowhere. He stood by faith without any doctors whatsoever, and he got completely healed of cancer. All he had to do was get rid of his unbelief, hatred toward his dad. When he got rid of that, I knew that's what the problem was. As soon as he told me he hated his dad, I said, God hates those that hate people. You can't hate, you got to love. You got to walk in love. I said, if you want to get healed, all you got to do is repent of that sin, forgive your dad. I think his dad was already dead anyway. But I said, all you got to do is forgive. And so he did. He forgave. And did it work for Weston Blair? Yes, it did. He wrote a book about how he got healed. Just think, God tells us exactly how it works. And I guarantee if you find a preacher or a man or a woman that'll teach this book just like it's written, you will find people even in the church that come against you that you're teaching a lie. God would never do this. But you know, I had a problem with a God that said he would do something, but yet everybody else tells me he won't do it. But he will, won't he?
Yes.
Yes, he will. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Wow. If we have faith and doubt not, what can we get?
Anything.
Anything you ask me for, if you have faith. In other words, if you come up for prayer, and you bring your son up for prayer, let's say mom and daddy has repented for all their sins, all sins of unforgiveness, bitterness toward each other, toward others. They get rid of their sin, and they, just like, there was a guy that come up here, had three little daughters, and I still remember that to the T because there's three little girls, and all three of them were dressed in pure white dresses. When he came and said all three of his kids either had asthmas or allergies or something. And I said, and when did this start? He said, about 6 months ago. I said, until then, we had no problem. I said, well, where's your wife? He said, well, me and her's having a problem. I said, well, when did this start? He said, about 6 months ago. I said, oh, you got a check in the spirit there, huh? So I said, about the time you and your wife got to where you couldn't get along, that's when the problem started with your kids. He said, I hadn't noticed that, but said, you're right, that is it. I said, okay, I want you to forgive your wife. Then I want you to call her and tell her you forgive her and you promise to love her and you two will get along great. So he did. I told him, I said, now then, let me just reach over and touch your kids. I touched all three of them little girls, just stair steps. I touched all three of them. I said, okay, you girls are healed. What did Jesus say, dude? Lay hands on the sick? I don't even have to pray. He just said, lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Is that what he said? If I get rid of the sin, all I got to do is lay hands on the sick. Well, next time I saw that guy, I said, well, he said, my girls never had another attack after we left here that day. All three of them were healed. Isn't that amazing? Do what God says. He wants to heal people. But he will not heal you if you continue in your wickedness, unforgiveness, and bitterness. You got to walk in love. Did he mean what he said when he said, I command you to love one another? That's what he meant. That's what he meant. Okay, so Dave, he's out of town on vacation, so we promise to never let him go on vacation again. Dave, if you're listening, if you're listening, Dave, no more vacations. This is it. I can assure you he's listening. Dave is listening. He always listens to the service to see how it turns out. If you want any of the CDs and DVDs, all the stuff we got scattered all over the place, it's free. You can have as much as you want, many CDs, DVDs, take up whatever you want. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a box over there on the wall. And Psalms 91. Yeah, we got the Psalm 91 cards. Mm-hmm. And I was going to read Psalm 91, but I didn't get to it today. But let me challenge each one of you, if you will, read once or twice. It would be nice if you do it every day, but it would be at least if you do it every week. But for sure, don't wait so long to read Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a powerful psalm, and it will keep you and your family free of all harm and everything, especially if you will read it every day. That's the secret, reading that Psalm 91 every day. And we got a boxes up here. It's got Psalm 91 cards in them.
Spanish Psalm 91.
Yeah, we got it in Spanish and English. So if you need some Psalm 91 cards, get those. Psalm 91 tells you clearly, if you'll read it and do what it says, if somebody will get that card and they'll read that card and do what that card says, dwell in the secret place. To those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and those that will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my strength. No sickness, no disease shall come to your dwelling place. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
No sickness. You can live, if you dwell with God, in God, you can go through your whole life and not ever be sick again. I wish I'd learned that at a younger age. I learned it 35 years ago, so it's still been a good deal. You don't have to be sick. Wow. Father, I thank you for the people that you send out here for us to get healed. You heal them. You send them out here. We teach them the principles of the kingdom. And then when they repent of their sins, we pray the prayer of faith for them, and you heal them. And Lord, we get lots of people healed in the name of Jesus. I am grateful to be a servant of yours on this team of believers that believes the Word of God, that sees so many people healed.
and children healed, and we are thankful for all you do for your body. And Lord, use us mightily for your glory this week as we go about doing your will. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord.